it could have produced a Robert C. Dalton. The phone book must have held at least a score of them. But Abby had a hunted sensation, and she'd have bet a week's salary that this particular Robert C. Dalton hailed from Charleston, that he was married to the heiress of a shipping empire, and that unless she found a way to be out of the office by 4 p.m., she was going to be drawing her unemployment by quitting time. She'd been so interested in that name that she hadn't heard the intercom the first time it buzzed. The second sharp, impatient jab caught her attention, and she depressed the button with trembling fingers.
"Yes, sir,"
she managed weakly. "Bring your pad," a deep, curt voice replied. She automatically reached for her steno pad and a pencil, dropping it once before she got to her feet. It was court week, and McCallum had a case set for 9:30 a.m. in Superior Court. It was just barely 9 a.m. now. It would take him 10 minutes to get to the courthouse. 5, the way he drove his sleek Porsche, and he'd just found something he wanted to add to a petition. By the time he dictated it, she'd have less than 5 minutes to type it, with copies, in the spotless manner he demanded. And she knew before she tapped at the door and went in that she'd never be able to manage it in her present shaken state. "Sit down," McCallum growled without lifting his dark, leonine face from the transcript his eyes were glued to. Abby sat, poised gracefully on the edge of one of the brown leather chairs, her eyes lingering on his broad shoulders, the big, square-tipped fingers that were gripping the transcript. He looked more like a professional wrestler than a famous trial lawyer. And it wasn't only his tall, powerful physique that commanded attention. He could use words more effectively than any weapon. Abby had seen him reduce grown men to tears on the witness stand. He could literally strip the hide off a stubborn witness without ever raising his deep, velvety voice. No doubt he curbed those aggressive instincts when he was with women, because the office always seemed to be full of them. Sophisticated, very mature women who looked vaguely alike, merging into one specific type: tall, brunette, generously endowed, and faintly bored. The zombies, Abby called them when she needed a mental boost. And their conversation always seemed to center around their newest perfume or McCallum's most recent gift. They all fawned on him, and none of them had ever lasted longer than a few weeks. At 40, he was still very much a bachelor, and in no evident hurry to change his status. "Studying me?" he asked curtly, and his strange, pale gray eyes suddenly caught hers in a hammerlock. She fought back a snappy answer, barely maintaining her cool, efficient image. Abby kept her vibrant personality under tight wraps, disguising it in clothes like the plain gray suit she was wearing, the glasses she didn't need. She'd landed the job that way. "Don't come on like a career woman or a hothouse flower," her friend Jan had warned her when she applied for the job. Only McCallum's women were allowed to be colorful and vivacious. He only wanted an efficient wallflower at his typewriter, someone restful. So Abby had toned down her clothes and her personality, forgotten the outgoing charm that had made her a successful reporter, and walked right into the job. And she almost never missed the old life, the excitement. Almost never.
"Was I staring, Mr. McCallum?"
she asked with a polite smile. His eyes narrowed, and he watched her in that way he had, a piercing stare that seemed to reach deep inside to all the secret places that were locked away from the light. Without replying, he neatly removed a sheet of yellow legal paper from the pad in front of him and slid it across the desk. "Type that," he said curtly. "Then call Miss Nichols.